However, urge it as a matter of the highest import to cease from self-action and self-exertion, that God himself may act alone. He says by the mouth of his prophet David, "Be still and know that I am God." Psalm 46, verse 10. But the creature is so infatuated with a love and attachment to its own workings that it imagines nothing at all is done if it does not perceive and distinguish all its operations. It is ignorant that its inability minutely to observe the manner of its motion is occasioned by the swiftness of its progress, and that the operations of God in extending and diffusing their influence absorb those of the creature. The stars may be seen distinctly before the sun rises, but as his light advances, their rays are gradually absorbed by his, and they become invisible, not from the want of light in themselves, but from the superior effulgence of the chief luminary. The case is similar here, for there is a strong and universal light which absorbs all the little distinct lights of the soul. They grow faint and disappear under its powerful influence, and self-activity is now no longer distinguishable. Yet those greatly err who accuse this prayer of idleness, a charge that can arise only from inexperience. If they would but make some efforts towards the attainment of this prayer, they would soon experience the contrary of what they suppose and find their accusation groundless. This appearance of inaction is, indeed, not the consequence of sterility and want, but of fruitfulness and abundance which will be clearly perceived by the experienced soul, who will know and feel that the silence is full and unctuous, and the result of causes totally the reverse of apathy and barrenness. There are two kinds of people that keep silence, the one because they have nothing to say, the other because they have too much. It is so with the soul in this state. The silence is occasioned by the superabundance of matter too great for utterance. To be drowned and to die of thirst are deaths widely different, yet water may, in some sense, be said to cause both. Abundance destroys in one case and want in the other. So in this state, the abundance and overflowings of grace still the activity of self, and therefore it is of the utmost importance to remain as silent as possible. The infant hanging at the mother's breast is a lively illustration of our subject. It begins to draw the milk by moving its little lips. But when the milk flows abundantly, it is content to swallow and suspends its suction. By doing otherwise, it would only hurt itself, spill the milk, and be obliged to quit the breast. We must act in like manner in the beginning of prayer by exerting the lips of the affections. But as soon as the milk of divine grace flows freely, we have nothing to do but, in repose and stillness, sweetly to imbibe it. And when it ceases to flow, we must again stir up the affections as the infant moves its lips. Whoever acts otherwise cannot turn this grace to advantage, which is bestowed to allure and draw the soul into the repose of love and not into the multiplicity of self. But what becomes of this child who gently and without motion drinks in the milk? Who would believe that it can thus receive nourishment? Yet the more peacefully it feeds, the better.